Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Good morning and a greeting to you in Christ's name this morning. Certainly have been blessed being here today already. Blessed this morning with our devotional. Might parallel a little bit with what I'd like to share today as well. Before I get into the message, I want to tell you my voice doesn't sound right to me. I've been battling a little tickle in my throat, and I've worked to combat that, and I'm not sure if I've conquered it today or not. So if I get one of these tickles, and depending how it goes, we might close early. I don't know. We'll see how this goes. It is good to be here today, especially for a family. If I'm not mistaken, today would be a month since I've been here for Sunday morning. And I sure do feel a need of your fellowship. That really does add some dimension and perspective on your church family when you're gone for that period of time. For our family, it seems like our schedule has sort of threw us off calibration. Everything from the holidays to a funeral and then some traveling and so forth. Thank you, brother. sort of throwed us off whack a little bit, but that's okay. As Ralph shared and mentioned, that winter is also a valuable time. It's an important time. And we appreciate what God, how God designed all of that for our benefit. And spiritually, sometimes maybe we're also in the winter. And that's not a waste at all. That's not a waste at all. There are things that God can do with us through a time like that. For a title today, I've entitled the message, God Consciousness. God Consciousness. Also, we could use the word awareness, God awareness. This was born early this past week, and throughout the week, there were several things that really got me to thinking about this and what does it mean. I do want to say this is not related to the New Age movement. If you look up consciousness, God consciousness online, you'll read some of that. I'm not referring to that. I'm simply referring to as the Word of God tells us that God is present in our lives. Are we aware of it? Are we consciously aware of it? And does it affect us? Do we respond to that? There's a lot of ways we could look at this today, but I have a couple of examples that I picked from Scripture of awareness or consciousness. And then I've got several subtitles here that topics that I thought we would look at. One of those is a heart dedicated to Christ is essential. Another practical way that we can aid ourselves with this is in meditation. A second one is study. And a fourth one is physical exercise, stewarding our bodies. Also in Scripture, we read that our bodies are God's temple, God's dwelling place. How do we relate to that? For a first Scripture, I'd like to go to Genesis chapter 3 and read an account there. Genesis chapter 3. Here we have the account of Adam and Eve. They were placed in the garden to steward it. And God told them that the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge, was going to be there, but they were not to eat from it. And we know that that as the account goes, that they did, and what happened. Starting to read in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, it says there, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking, Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And we know that after this, Adam goes on to blame Eve, and Eve goes on to blame the serpent. What happens when we sin? Often God's Spirit speaks to us, and we get that voice. What do we do? How do we respond? I'd like to now go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and read an account there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is the account of Samuel. Well, let me back up. So in Samuel chapter 1, we have the account of Hannah, Samuel's mom. And I'd like to note how that, I think there's somewhat of a connection here. We'll then go on to 1 Samuel chapter 3 and read the story of Samuel as well. So starting in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says there, So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Cease reading there. We see here where Hannah had this time of sorrow for what had come to her, for the circumstances that God brought to her life. I think for us as well, sometimes things happen that in our minds are negative. We don't understand what God is doing. What's he trying to accomplish with this circumstance? And we see what Hannah did with it. I think Hannah gave us a good example of what it means to be aware of God. God conscious. And God was moved with her with her petition that she desired, and God blessed her. And I'd like to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3 now and read there. I believe this God consciousness and awareness continue from Hannah to Samuel. Starting to read in verse 1 there of chapter 3, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out on the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. I'm just going to back up here for a minute. So a couple things we'd like to note here. One was that the last part of verse 1, it says, there was no open vision. Where God's presence is, where it is recognized, and where it is in consciousness, there will be a vision. There will be a result. It will create an understanding within us about what God wants. Doesn't mean that we're going to automatically know everything about God's will for us. God does reveal that to us in his own time. But we will know what it is that God wants from us. There's always the place for obedience in whatever moment that we find ourselves in. Obedience to God. And then Eli, in verse 2, it says that Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. What was God going to do for the children of Israel? So we'll continue reading. In verse 3, there, an air of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever." And Samuel lay into the morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord, let him do that which seemeth good." I think we'll pause reading there. Just a couple of interesting observations from this account. It says at one place here that Samuel had not yet known the Lord. I had to wonder, so Samuel's response was, "Here am I." Do you think Samuel just sort of came up with that on his own? I would doubt that. Of course, we don't know. But I really, really would like to think that came from his parents and the lives that they lived and what they taught him. So Samuel was prepared to receive God. So when God came and he revealed himself to Samuel, Samuel was ready, and Samuel received it. And then also, secondly, Samuel received instructions from Eli, his overseer, the one he answered to. Eli recognized that God wanted to speak to Samuel. in verse 11, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." I don't know why that hadn't stood out to me before. not to make light of it, but are your ears tingling? Are you aware of God's presence in your life? I think that when we think about God and his presence in our lives, that it will be, as it were, a tingle in the ear. God is going to do a work. God wants to do a work. And the tingle can be figurative. The point is, God wants to do a work. And Eli understood that. And he wanted Samuel to reveal to him what God shared with him. Samuel, of course, was in fear. Sometimes we too face fear. But God's conscious presence in our lives will help us overcome fear and a lot of circumstances and obstacles that we face. For us to recognize God's presence, what is important? A heart dedicated to Christ is what I'd like to look at. God wants to reveal himself to hearts that are dedicated to him. In Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" God's Spirit in our lives, he wants us to be dedicated to him, and he wants to do that work with us and in us. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, "Lo here," or "Lo there," for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in our hearts. For a dedicated heart, God is looking to move his kingdom and advance his kingdom. The second subtopic I have here is meditation. I found this story of a young man that practiced meditation. And I was very much inspired by how powerful this was in his life. I don't know how many of you children like peanut butter. Any of you like peanut butter? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I like peanut butter, and I shouldn't have that much of it. But I really like a lot of honey with a little peanut butter, or vice versa. It's fine, too. Enjoy that. But this young man is known for having invented peanut butter, as I understand. His name is George Washington Carver. So maybe you recognize that name. I've got the story here of how this goes. Miraculous breakthrough saved the Southern agriculture. The South had been racked by the Civil War, and farmers were scrambling to put together a resurgence plan for sustaining life. Life of them and their families and livestock. It says, following the Civil War, impoverished Southern farmers scrambled to make ends meet. Years of cotton crops had utterly depleted the soil, and deep need spread as defeated Southern states sought a path to restoration. Enter former slave George Washington Carver, a budding scientist who helped the agriculture community. He taught them best practices for irrigation, fertilization, and planting peanuts to replenish the soil with needed nitrogen. Farmers heeded the advice, but wound up with peanuts. So many peanuts. The legume, I guess the plant is a legume, I didn't know that, primarily used for animal feed, definitely not a cash crop. Carver was smart. He didn't complain. He didn't grumble. Carver sought God's help. All my life I have risen regularly at 4 o'clock and have gone into the woods and talked with God. Talk about meditation. 4 o'clock in the morning, go to the woods. How many of you like to go to the woods at 4 o'clock in the morning? Incredible dedication to God and meditation. Carver says, there he gives me my orders for the day. I gather specimens and listen to what God has to say to me. After my morning's talk with God, I go into my laboratory and begin to carry out his wishes for the day. It was God's miraculous breakthrough that saved Southern agriculture. Carver derived more than 300 uses for the lowly peanut. He was invited to speak to the U.S. House Ways and Means Committee in 1921. Following his speech, the chairman asked, "Dr. Carver, how did you learn all of these things?" Dr. Carver replied, "From an old book." "An old book," the chairman pressed. "What for book was that?" Dr. Carver replied, "The Bible." Perplexed, the chairman asked, "Does the Bible tell you about peanuts?" "No, sir, but it tells about the God who made the peanut. I asked him to show me, what do you do with a peanut?" And he did, Carver explained. And the rest, you might say, is history. Many, many, many millions have enjoyed peanut butter for years and years. At least I have. Meditation and dedication are essential for us to be in a place where God can reveal himself to us. The third one I have is study. Studying. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So when you have dedication and meditation and then study, study being that more conscious effort to understand. Study takes time. Study takes work. It takes a lot of focus. But it is well worth it. It will bring to us an understanding of who God is. And as we understand who God is, we then are able to pattern our lives after him. Therefore, when circumstances come to us, we won't be in a state of not knowing what to do, as I might have been this past week. I had a circumstance this past week that was trying, to say the least. So I went to pick up a load of potting soil, and it was a large load. I know I've told some of you this story, so sorry for the second time around. But I discussed how to load this with the young men there at the place where I was picking it up. And we all did the best we knew and could, but my experience just hadn't been enough, I guess, at that point, up to that point. Some of you men here would have known much better how to load that load. I get down the road a mile, and the trailer began to fishtail, and fishtailed something fierce. And I fought it. I fought it as hard as I could. I thought I was doing fairly well as I got about a quarter to a half a mile out and trying to get out of this fishtail. And all of a sudden, the fishtailing cleared up. I was focused on the road ahead and how I needed to maneuver. And as I was about to gain consolation from getting out of the fishtail, I looked in my mirror only to see nearly half of my load cascading along the road and down the bank and into a ditch. 50-pound bale, plastic bales of potting soil busting and breaking and dirt and dust flying everywhere and vehicles dodging and swerving and carrying on. I must admit, I wasn't necessarily God conscious. I pulled over, got out, and realized that, it's best for me to stick around, try to figure out what to do with this mess, than for me to run away and try to avoid the humiliation of having car after car going past and seeing this inexperienced load hauler with a mess. Soon somebody stopped, and he jumps out and says, "I see you're having a bad day." I said, "Yeah, you could call it that." By that time, I was able to get some consciousness. By that time, I was thanking the Lord. I realized that my load, having flown off the trailer, more than likely is what got me out of the fishtailing. And if it hadn't, I'm not so certain that I wouldn't be in the ditch. Who knows where I would be or what might have happened. So by that time, I was ready to praise the Lord. I'd recovered my God consciousness. So in my mind, yeah, to him it looked like I was having a bad day. I don't think I was having a bad day. I was fine, and that was more valuable than all the dirt. I had several good Samaritans stop and help. It was a lot of work, no doubt. But I thank God for his safety. Sometimes in the moment, it's hard to know, hard to tell, what is God doing? But trusting him and a lot of study can help prepare us for those times and those circumstances. Going on to physical exercise. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and they were struggling with some things. And Paul was pointing out that be careful what you do with your body. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. And then verse 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's." So when we have that perspective, it helps us to understand how to relate to ourselves. Sometimes it means that we simply need to take some time, maybe to rest. Maybe we need to exercise, go to the gym or go jogging or whatever it is. There are a good number of medical benefits that come from exercising. And all of these help us in serving God in the way that he would have us to, with the body he has given us and blessed us with. I have several other verses here that I'd like to share that have to do with awareness. They are somewhat randomly picked from Scripture, and they speak in various different angles about the aspect of awareness. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keeping our heart with all diligence. Diligence is a close companion to awareness and the other things that we've talked about. Out of our heart comes so much. And there are a lot of impacts that we leave from out of our hearts. So important. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Understanding that the days that we live in will help us to be aware of God as well and what he has for us, choosing wisely in a world filled with challenges and temptations, making wise choices to seize the opportunities that come our way, and live according to God's purpose. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Vigilance, knowing that we have an enemy. And that is one of the reasons that we need God consciousness. We have an enemy that is seeking to take us out. If you were told that there was a lion in this woods, and you're going to need to go in there, I don't think anybody would need to tell you that you need to be vigilant, right? Even though we don't see the lion, the enemy of our souls, tangibly, literally, do we believe that he exists? If we do, it's going to behoove us to be God conscious. An example of how we as humans, we are in our humanity, and not to say that we are any better, that I'm any better, but the disciples were asked to watch and pray with Jesus when he was at the crucible moment, you could say the max of what he had to go through for you and I to bring salvation to mankind. And he asked them to watch and pray. Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'm just going to turn to that account real quickly. I had read it earlier in my study, and I just thought it was really something how that it demonstrates our humanity and how that we do need to guard against that aspect of our humanity. So in Matthew chapter 26, reading in verse 33 there, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall offend thee, offend because of thee, yet I will never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Somewhat of a dismal situation. Even we sometimes find ourselves asleep. But we know the disciples, later on, in their time with Jesus, they became as God-conscious as any characters in the Bible that we read about. And so, even though we're not perfect, we're in our humanity, there's hope for us too. Let's just remember that God will not leave us. As long as we are dedicated to Him, He is going to continue to work with us. His grace is there. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. I found it interesting that the word thanksgiving is in that verse. And I think thanksgiving really wraps it up for the Christian. If we are thankful for that which God has done for us, are we going to be God conscious? I think we are. Just another practical illustration of what can happen when we are conscious and aware is the example of the Titanic. I was reading about that this past week a little. And the story of the Titanic, I won't give a lot of the details, but I don't know why this hadn't caught my eye before, but there was another ship that was sailing about an hour and 20 minutes from the Titanic when the Titanic sent out its distress signals. And this ship never responded. And well over 1,000 people perished that speculators estimate would have been rescued and saved. What in the world? What happened that this ship did not get the distress signal? It's reported that the radio watchman had retired for rest for the night or whatever it was. Subsequent to that, a law was passed that they had to have 24-hour radio vigilance. God wants to give us an important work as well. There are needy people around us and among us, neighbors. And a missed opportunity for the kingdom of God is not worth it. God help us to avail ourselves and to be vigilant and watchful, knowing that He that brought us salvation wants that from our lives. Are we ready to give that to Him? I'll conclude with that. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be together here. We just pray, Lord, for your blessing upon us. Would you bless, Lord, those that are not here as well, Lord, and we understand the health situations. I pray, Lord, for healing and for the need of the hour, Lord, that the needs could be met. Help us, Lord, to be vigilant and watchful and avail ourselves, Lord, to be God conscious. For you and for what you've done for us. We thank you for this. We pray this in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, I'll open it up if anyone has anything to share or